Well, it is indeed a privilege to be open, God's Word and to share it with you today. What a privilege to know that the Holy Spirit is here with us as we have gathered to worship. In honor of Veterans Day, the scripture that will be before us will be one that may be familiar to you. But as we study Gideon to learn that God's calling is upon his life, as he will be chosen to lead the nation of Israel against the Midianites. So I invite your attention to the screen as we read from Judges 6. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite. As his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon answered him, "But, sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all of his wonderful deeds that our ancestors recounted unto us? Say, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has cast us off and given us into the hand of Midian." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. I hereby commission you." And he responded, "But, sir, how can I deliver Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." And the Lord said unto him, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike down the Midianites, every one of them." This is the word of God for the people of God. May we pray together, please. Our God, this morning, you have a message for us. And as we use the context of Gideon and his anxiety and his doubt, may we learn as we have begun the journey of confidence, the journey of faith, may we come to a greater understanding of your presence in our lives. Speak to us. May your spirit be our teacher, and may your word be our curriculum. And in your precious name we pray. Amen. It has been nearly 40 years since I have sung this little song. It is one that I learned in Sunday school many years ago. But it's one that is appropriate for this particular hour and for the subject that we are studying. So I'm going to attempt to sing it for you at this time. As you and I remember that we have been called and enlisted, and we are part of a greater army. And it goes like this. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly over the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's army. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly over the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. It may be a simple song. It may be one that we teach our children. But I pray you never forget that you are in the Lord's army. For indeed, that's where Gideon finds himself. As this morning we begin the path, as we begin the path toward confidence, we begin to recognize that there are two schools of thought. One school of thought is simply this, that Gideon had led one military campaign and it had great success, but something began to erode his confidence. He began to recognize that disappointment and discouragement, and he began to understand that the battle was so great that he could not handle it himself. The second school of thought is that this was the initial calling of Gideon, and this man that required more evidence than most, this man that required several opportunities of proof, began to find and began the journey of faith. I'm in the Lord's army. The angel of God came and found Gideon in probably the most inopportune place. He was in the wrong place, conducting the wrong activity. For you'll remember, he is there in the wine press, and as he is in the wine press, he is threshing wheat, thinking that he is hiding, thinking that he is conducting his activity solo, but God finds him, and the angel has a word for him. He comes to him and simply says, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." In the King James Version and the NIV Version, it is, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Now, to be honest, Gideon was not portraying much valor. He wasn't portraying much bravery. He wasn't in a position that he was able to exemplify the characteristics of a mighty warrior, but God was speaking blessing into him. God was speaking hope into him. God was speaking joy into him. For see, this is the context of the scripture. The context is that the nation of Israel has been disobedient. And as they have been disobedient, God has sent them into the oppression of the Midianites. And for 7 years, they will be under the hand and under the thumb of the Midianites. Matter of fact, this is God's chosen people. These are the ones that has entering into the promised land, and yet they have gone to live in the caves and the crags and the clefts of the mountains. The Midianites would allow them to come and to plant their wheat, to plant their vegetables, and just at about the time that it was to be harvested, the Midianites would come and encamp the entire area. The Israelites were destitute. They were having their crops stolen. They were having their livestock stolen. And they were in a very oppressive situation. You may find yourself there today. You may find yourself in a point in time where you wonder, is God available for me? Is God here for me. The circumstance is great. The troubles are many. Do I have any hope? About 9 months ago, Cokesbury initiated a ministry entitled The Shield of Faith. And the Shield of Faith, in its primary purpose, is to be a ministry to first responders and those military veterans that are having difficulty returning to the United States. We meet each Friday morning, and in so doing, we go through a devotional and a lesson, and then we break up in small groups, and we're able to discuss those items that are disturbing us, those items that we are struggling with. And it's a wonderful occasion to be able to meet with other men and women who are going through similar experiences. Colonel Scott McChrystal writes the devotions for us, and I'd like to share with you one of the devotions from August the 18th, 2016, and it is entitled, Storms Will Come. This is from Colonel McChrystal, and it says, life storms often hit quickly with little or no notice. Damage from a storm can be worse than expected. And what matters most is our response, not what happens to us. He describes the despair and the hopelessness that many veterans feel upon returning home. You and I may have very little control over the circumstances that come our way, but however, we do get to choose the way we will react to them. Can you imagine, with all of the enemy around you, the expectation that you may not have food for your family, and here you are in the wine press, in the place that you did not expect to be, and you are threshing wheat as you cast the wheat into the air, and the chaff is blown away, and then you're able to collect what little bit you will have for food. Gideon feels like it rests on his shoulders. Gideon feels like he is alone. Gideon feels like he has lost all confidence. He thinks he is hiding, and he thinks that his efforts are going unnoticed. He thinks that he has outsmarted the enemy, and he thinks that the survival of his family and people are resting on his shoulders. He was distressed in his thinking. There's no imagination. There's no clarity of thought. He was in deep meditation and could not break himself free from this worry. He had no freedom to entrust or embrace God or another. He was totally alone. But it's interesting to think that the angel calls him a mighty man of valor. Matter of fact, in verse 16, it says, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. In the class that I'm leading on the book of Moses, we've discussed this very particular issue. Is it enough that God says, I will be with you? Is that sufficient? Is that enough? Now, you may say to yourself, it should be. You may say to yourself that, yes, on the outside, it appears to be enough. But am I willing to follow? Am I willing to surrender? Am I willing to enact? Am I willing to place my life in the presence of God? For see, that's where Gideon finds himself. Gideon is at the start of the concept of confidence. And matter of fact, over the next weeks, Gideon will find his confidence increasing. For see, the first test he will go through is he will go and he will prepare cakes. And he will also slaughter a lamb, and he will bring this meal as an offering for this angel that has appeared. And the angel instructs him to sit those cakes and to sit the meat there on the rock, and then he is to pour the broth over the rock. And the scripture says that the angel consumes the meal by fire. The next test that Gideon will be asked to do is he will go and he will actually tear down the altar that the people have erected because they are no longer worshiping the one true God. And that is the problem that they find themselves in to begin with. Is back in verse 1, it just simply says, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. The scripture says Gideon goes by night and he pulls down the altar that those have erected because they would rather have an altar to worship than they would Almighty God. Is the presence of God enough? We find that this soldier is being commissioned to be a leader. We find that this soldier is growing in his faith and in his confidence. We find that this soldier will need more proof that God is with him. I came across several verses of scripture that speak to the issue of God's presence in our life. One comes from Isaiah 41 and 10. It says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Is that enough? Am I willing to yield? Am I willing to submit? Am I willing to follow? Because God has promised his presence with me. You may know the name Rick Warren. He shares this about our growth to confidence. Becoming like Christ is a long, slow process to growth. Thomas Watson says it this way, the right manner of growth is to grow less in one's own eyes. I learn to decrease so that Christ may increase. I learn to submit so that he may lead. I learn to yield so that I might come under his authority. If you know anything of the story of Gideon, he has to ask for more proof before entering into battle. He says, Lord, if I'm really chosen by you, then I will lay a piece of fleece on the outside of my tent. And if I am indeed your chosen, in the morning when I awaken, there will be only dew on the ground around the fleece, and the fleece will be dry. The next morning, when Gideon awakes, he hurries out of his tent, makes his way to the fleece, and he notices that the fleece is bone dry and the ground around it is damp. That's not good enough for Gideon. He says, if you will beg my pardon, I'd like one other sign from you. In the morning, I'm going to place the fleece on the ground, and when I check it, only the fleece will be wet, and the ground around it will be dry. The next morning, he awakens, and he runs out of his tent, and the scripture says, wrings the dew out of the fleece. I think if we're honest, we can identify with Gideon. If we're honest, we have to ask ourselves the question, is the presence of God enough for me? Do I recognize that my journey of faith and my journey to confidence is slow, deliberate, and requires many twists and turns along the way? Am I a person of valor? Am I a person of confidence? Am I a person that can honestly say I'm a mighty warrior simply because the presence of God is with me and for no other reason? I can't do it without Him. I'll never forget. It was my Boy Scout troop, and we had to share a drama. It was part of the talent show, and our troop had to come up with a drama. My dad was my Boy Scout leader, and we discussed it amongst ourselves, and we decided to share the drama of Gideon. You'll remember the story. Gideon leads a large army of 10,000. God tells him, you've got too many men. So God instructs Gideon to go and to tell those who want to go home, they can go home. Rather unorthodox manner of fighting a battle, but it's effective. Those that leave, go home. God looks at Gideon and he says, you still have too many men. They go down to the riverside. And God instructs Gideon, those that get down on all fours and cup the water to their mouth, those are to be sent home. Those who still have their spear in one hand and cup the water to their mouth, yet they are still alert, those you will keep. 300 are all he has left. And he fights an army of thousands. Why are they victorious? Because of the presence of God. Is that enough? Is that enough? It is a question that we answer every day. It is a question that we answer individually. And it is a question that we answer corporately as a church. Is the presence of God enough? I pray that we decide on the affirmative. It is enough. Amen. Amen.